Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I would like to share over the next two weeks, depending on how God goes and where God leads us, on sonship, living a life of royalty. It is something that is on my heart, the fact that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And it's one of my pet peeves when I see people that are not living according to their true royal godly identity, because it just shows me, it's not personal to you, but it just shows me that the enemy has once again been giving lies and hounding us with the lies that have been robbing us from the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free, yeah, but it's the lies that keep us in bondage. So I believe that in the next couple of weeks and weekends, if you know somebody who's really struggling after this message with their identity, please invite them next week. Let's, as Sal was saying, let's invite some people to the 11 o'clock service and fill this place. Let the 11 o'clock service be the service where we're seeing lives touched and changed and the kingdom advanced, yeah, through salvations. If you have your Bibles this morning, which I hope you do, turn with us to Genesis 1, verses 26 to 31. Genesis 1, 26 to 31. Yes, we are going back to the beginning because that's where it all started. Genesis 1, 26 to 31. And it reads as follows. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And God blessed them, granting them certain authority, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subjugate it, in other words, subdue it or take it by force, putting it under your power, and rule over, dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. Verse 29, God said, beloved, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and to all the animals on the earth, and to every bird of the air, and everything that moves on the ground, to everything in which there is breath of life. I have given every green plant for food. And it was so, because he commanded it. Verse 31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and he validated it completely. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we can come together, and we pray for truth to be revealed. We pray that the lies of the enemy will today be annihilated, and that the truth will be revealed. We pray that our eyes, our spiritual eyes, will open, and that after today, Lord God, that we will walk out here differently, every single one of us. Father, I also pray that Holy Spirit, right now, that you'll be with me, that you'll help me to relay this message, to break open the word, and that we would all have a heart to receive and understand. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Identity is one of the first things God established, very first things he established, and this is in Genesis 1:26. Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. There was identity right there. If you ever wondered about identity, that is where it is in, established in Genesis 1:26, in his image and in his likeness. Now, you've heard me say this before, but one of the areas that the enemy is having a field day today is in today's society is identity. Identity is being questioned and stolen. In our schools, we just got to look at our schools, genderless toilets, fear of even talking about gender. You know, when you fill out an application for a school nowadays, you have the choice of male, female, nothing. That's dangerous. Very dangerous. News reports tell us about the latest breach of security for yet another retail chain or major banking or healthcare or a government agency, the loss of sensitive data, sensitive and personal data for millions of people. firewalls are hacked, passwords are stolen, confidential data has been stolen, information is downloaded and passed into the hands of criminals. And suddenly you and I are vulnerable. Suddenly you and I are exposed because our identity, our personal financial details, our medical history, our employer benefits, whatever we have has been either stolen or at risk of being stolen. This is what's happening within society. It's still happening. But you know what? It's not new. Because right from the beginning, Satan has been attacking identity. Right from the beginning of time. In Genesis 3:1, it reads this. Now the serpent was more crafty. The serpent was more crafty. Skilled in deceit is what the Amplified says. Than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. The serpent. And the serpent said to the woman, can it really be that God has said? It's the serpent that comes and questions their identity. You see, Satan used the serpent to attack Adam and Eve to believe in that God had selfish motives for not allowing them to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Like modern day today, modern day con artists, hackers, Satan's actions were motivated by discontent, by jealousy, and by envy. His tactics were based on lies, pretenses, and deception. His goal was basically simply to destroy the confidence that Adam and Eve had in their identity as children of the Most High God. How did he do this? He used trickery. He used deception. To do what? To attack the personal identity, the relationship with God. How? By causing them to doubt God's love for them and to question his word. Now, because they believed Satan's lie, more than God's promises. This is very crucial. Because they believed Satan's lie over and above the promises of God, they disobeyed God. And they ate of the fruit, and one act of disobedience, the whole fate of mankind changed. With that one act, just one, the fate of mankind completely changed forever. But Genesis 1:26 says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule. Listen, look what's on the board. That they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Where does the serpent move? Along the ground. Hello? Genesis 1:26 says to us that he said that they may rule over all the creatures that move along the ground. In other words, God knew that this was going to take place, and he gave mankind authority. He gave them already authority to rule over the serpent. He gave them identity so that they can rule over, even over the one that moves along the ground. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, granting them certain authority, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subjugate it. In other words, subdue it, take it by force, putting it under your power, and rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. That scripture there in verse 28 lies a number of keys for God's original plan for mankind. And I want to touch on them shortly. Number one, be fruitful. Fruitful, I thought, was to have babies, but it's not. Fruitful means to be productive with your life. Fruitful means to use what is in your hand to make a difference. What does God place in your hand? Be fruitful. Secondly, multiply. That means making babies. That means making babies, have children, who have children, who have children. That word there, multiply, is procreate. Third thing, to fill the earth. We procreate to fill the earth, which means Adam and Eve would have to have children who would have children. And as they did, they would expand the boundaries of the garden, and until the entire planet was covered with absolute perfect divine order. And through that, there would be complete disruption to the powers of darkness and the work on planet Earth. Fill the earth. Subdue it is the fourth thing that comes up in the scripture. Subdue is a military term. It means to take it by force. It describes the fact that outside of this garden where there is absolute perfect rest and perfect divine order, outside of this garden there is actually chaos. And so the plan of God was to use mankind to bring it under his kingdom by giving them the power and authority that they can then, the fifth point, have dominion, to dominate. Let me paint the picture. This is the world. Over here, one tiny little speck is the Garden of Eden. He places mankind in the Garden of Eden and he says, multiply, be fruitful, fill the earth, subjugate it, have dominion. His plan is that Adam and Eve, as they were sons and daughters, they would multiply, they would be fruitful, they would fill the earth, they would subjugate, they would take it by force, and so they would spread the kingdom of God outside of the four walls of the Garden of Eden into the darkness of the world. That was the original plan. Now the question, why? Because putting it another way, he wants us to know that we are to bring his kingdom to earth, bit by bit, until his kingdom covers the whole earth. Covers the whole earth. We have to take it by force, people. This is not being complacent. This is not about being timid. We are to be an army within the kingdom. Now, the question that we have to have on our lips is, why did that have to happen? I'm glad you ask. Because when we read our Bibles, you found out that the earth, this, didn't actually really belong to God. Ezekiel 28, verses 12 to 17 explains this. He says, this is God speaking. He says, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Hold on. Eden, the garden of God, you were there. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till the wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. Cherubim are depicted in Scripture as powerful and majestic angelic creatures who surrounded God's throne. And Lucifer is who we are reading about. Lucifer had once been a guardian cherub. Lucifer, which means the star of the morning, had been the model of perfection. But then sin crept in and he fell and he was cast from heaven to earth. You see, his heart became proud because of his incredible beauty. It's Lucifer's perfection that led to the cause of his corruption. Now, what is interesting is this. When Satan fell, when Lucifer fell, he did not fall alone. Revelations 12, 14 says he took one third of the angels with him. In Revelations 5, 11, it says that the angelic host numbered more than 10,000 by 10,000. So if you do your sums, 10,000 by 10,000, one third of them were cast out with him. This was their domain. And Father places Adam and Eve and says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to be multiplied. I want you to fill the earth. I want you to subjugate. I want you to dominate. Spread my kingdom one bit at a, at a time until my kingdom covers the earth. That, folks, was the original plan. Why did he give this authority to man in the beginning? Because he is all-knowing. He's omniscient, omnipotent. He is all-knowing because he knew from the beginning that humanity would give away their authority. God knew that Satan was going to use a snake to convince Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Then she would convince Adam to also eat the forbidden fruit. And by doing so, that they would ultimately give away their sonship. They would ultimately give away their authority. Who knows? With identity comes authority. And with authority comes power. And because God knew, he already had another plan. And his plan was Plan Jesus. He enters the world through the womb of a virgin. He is sinless. He becomes the ultimate example of how we should live our lives, living a simplified, sinless, powerful life. Now, I've shared this with you before, but can you remember what did Jesus come to do here on the earth? He came to reveal the heart of the Father. And we see this in John 17, 4-6, where he says, I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. John 17, 26-27 says, I have revealed you to them and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them and I will be in them. The message says it this way. I have made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father to mankind. Why did he come to reveal the heart of the Father? Because I believe that Father God wanted to show humanity that his heart towards us has never changed. Right back from the beginning. You see, in 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. You shall. Not maybe, not if you tick the box, not if you do the right thing, spring through the... You shall be your father, you shall be my sons and daughters. You see, he still loves us as much as what he was way back in the day. He loves us so much that he actually sent his son to die, to be the ultimate sacrifice, to reinstate the original plan. And I'll explain that now. You see, in Matthew 28, verse 16, the Amplified again, it reads as follows. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted that it was really he. Jesus came up and said to them, all authority. Everybody say all authority. All authority is all power of absolute rule. All power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Folks, that is the reestablishment of the original plan. Let me show you. You see, in Genesis, it says, be fruitful and multiply. Being productive and procreating. In Matthew, go therefore and make. It's a doing word. Go therefore and make. In Genesis, fill the earth with believers. In Matthew, make disciples of all nations. In Genesis, subdue it, take it by force. In Matthew, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Who knows that when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you receive power? When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will also receive power. Subdue it, take it by force. How do you take it by force? By walking in the power that is yours. In Genesis, having dominion, ruling over everything. In Matthew, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded, and I will be with you all the days. You see, Jesus says, all authority, all power of absolute rule has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now I restore the original plan. Go and be fruitful. Go and multiply. Go and fill the earth. Go and subdue it. Go and have dominion. So as we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior of mankind, we are restored into relationship with the Father. We are actually restored into the original plan that God had from the beginning. You see, you are sons of God. You are daughters of God. It's not a maybe. It is a definite. It is written in Scripture. His original plan has now been restored for how you and I should be living, what you and I should be doing. How? Through the death, the burial, and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. We are still part of the original plan, which is to be fruitful, to multiply, fill the earth, subjugate it, and have dominion. Last week, Roma, the prophet of the house, she brought a message, an amazing message. I've listened to it 3 times. If you have not listened to it, get onto the podcast, get onto the website, find the podcast, listen to it. And she talks about being reset. It's a timely message, being reset, and it fits so well into this message. You see, because she talks about a diamond. When a diamond is reset, comes out of one and goes into another setting, but it still remains a diamond. I'm not preaching her word. Go listen to it. Actually, I have my wedding ring is one of those very great examples. This, the diamond in this ring is a diamond from my mother's engagement ring, who's passed away. The gold and the little diamonds are from my grandmother's ring. The gold is the combination of my mother's gold from her wedding ring and Paulina's dad's wedding ring, who'd also passed away. It was reset. Massive significance to my ring. The diamond didn't change. The setting changed. And Roma touches on the fact that the diamond, as a diamond, you are a diamond in God's kingdom, that you are worthy, you are valued, you are precious, you are highly favored, but you're in the process of reset. Guess what? Not only you, we all are. We all are. Paulina, myself, the kids, we're in the process of reset. Reset from Gold Coast to Melbourne, reset from house to here, reset from school to school, reset from team to team, We're constantly in the process of reset. But with Roma's permission, I want to add this. You are his diamond. And the reset that is happening is his reset back into his original and perfect plan for your life. That's the reset that's happening, folks. You wonder, what is the reset? He wants you to come back to the original plan of being fruitful, multiplying, filling the earth, subjugating, having dominion. He wants you to live a life that fulfills all those things. Not a life where you are constantly hammered. For too long, the church has lived on the crumbs of his goodness. For too long. But I hear the Father say, it's time to live in my abundance as sons and daughters. Jesus came to do what? To give life, and that in abundance. Abundance for you and me. Abundance for you. This just getting by is not part of God's plan. That's a lie from hell. He's whispering, oh, it's okay. Just get by. No, no, no. Jesus came for a life of abundance. It's time for us to step up. It's time for us to step out from our comfort little zone, from the everyday life. It's time for us to start living as sons and daughters. Why? You are royalty. You got to hear me now. You are royalty. You are royalty. You know, we look at the royalty of in Britain. We look at royalty throughout. You know, when there's a royal wedding, man, all of a sudden you hear there's a king and queen of some little island down in Whoop Whoop Town. You know, somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea. You don't even know that there was an island, and now there's a king and queen on there. But hello, you are a king and queen of the royalty of Jesus. That's how you got to start looking at this. There's more to it for you than what you think there is. He is the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. The use of King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Scripture refers to three things: supreme power, rule, and authority. What have we just spoken about? Supreme power, rule, and authority. But it doesn't stay with Jesus. Because in Matthew 28, it says, he sends us out with the power of absolute rule that was given to him. All authority, absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. He is sending you with that authority and that power. Romans 8 in the scripture tells us that we are heirs of the Father and joint heirs of the Son of Jesus Christ. In other words, we're not just subjects anymore. We are heirs. Ephesians 2:6 says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We are seated with him. Where is Jesus seated? On the right-hand side of the Father. That's where we are. How do you understand that? I've got no idea, but I read it. And I go, it's from that place that I need to start living. It's from that place that I need to start walking my walk. It's from that place that I need to start talking my talk. It's from that place that I need to start living my life. And today I speak to you as I conclude, and I say to you this: you are royalty. If I can have the team up, please. You are royalty. You are a king and a queen in the kingdom of God. What do you think Jesus taught us? What do you think Jesus taught us to pray? When he taught the disciples to pray, what did he say? Your kingdom come, your will be done. You and I have the authority to bring heaven to earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that speak of? That speaks of authority. That speaks of power. That speaks of breakthrough. That means that as you speak that, so you shift things. As you speak that, so you change. As you speak that, you shift atmospheres. You have been given the power and the authority because you are no longer slaves. You are no longer the subject. You are royalty. You see, folks, he is resetting. He is resetting. Everybody's talking about the new wine. We need the new wine. We need the new wine. We need the new wine. I want to make a massive statement now. We need the new wine, but he's waiting for the new wineskin. Who was the new wineskin? You and I. You and I are the new wineskin. Well, what do you mean by that, JJ? Well, where does Holy Spirit, where does he live? Here. It's you and I that'll carry the new wine. But to carry the new wine means we have to take on the truth that we are sons and daughters. I said it in the first service. I'm going to say it again now. My pet peeve is when people are robbed of their identity. I was director of a college on the Gold Coast, similar to School of the Spirit. I feel I need to say this here, that there's some people here that you need to consider doing School of the Spirit, 2024. They didn't know their identity. Actually, one of the young girls was here 2 weekends ago. She was in a psych ward 3 days before college started. She'd attempted suicide for, I don't know, I think it's the seventh time or something to that effect. She was in a bad state. She came to college, and her testimony is, She sat in the room. Her body was screaming to get out. Her mind was screaming to get out. She was drugged up on tablets, not the other drugs. Drugged up. She said, but my spirit was listening to everything that was being taught on identity. She graduated as one of our top students at the end of that year. She went to Canada, led a summer school. This is a girl who 12 months, 18 months earlier was in a psych ward for the 100th time. You know why? Because her spirit was hearing about identity. And her spirit was responding to the call of God. Deep cries out unto deep. And as her spirit was responding, so her body came into alignment. I had a 70-year-old pastor. He was a pastor. He was a theologian. He was a lecturer at a Bible college. He was a program writer. He'd done discipleship training. He traveled the world. 70 years old. Sitting in the college, 2021. Came up to me after the second week, tears running down his cheek. He said to me, JJ, I wish I knew this before. I would have done ministry so much different. He says this, he says, how come we were never taught this at Bible college? And I said to him, you know why? Because the enemy got it right to rob us of our identity. But folks, I'm here to restore that with the help of God. If I've got to stand up on this platform week in and week out and beat this drum so that you all walk in your true identity, my gosh, I will do that. That's my commitment. If you are here today and you go, you know what, JJ, I have been struggling with my identity and you want to talk to me privately, grab my number from Sal. Come and see me afterwards. I'd love to pray for you. I believe this is what I'm called for. I believe I'm called to help bring the truth of identity back to the church. Which program did we run? We ran the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. If we have a look at the School of the Spirit, it's parallel. It's not exactly the same. It's parallel. It's very similar. Young people, hear me now. Young people, I would highly consider it. And I'm not just saying young people. I'm saying everybody. It's time to learn. Because you know what? The resetting is happening. But what needs to be renewed is our lives. Our lives need to be renewed. The question is, where? Maybe it's the way you think. You know, do you think you're not worthy? I know this is a big thing. This is a big thing within our young generation. A young man. He's about the same age as my son. This week tried to take his life. Because he does not know his identity. I know him. He grew up in front of us. I can't believe it. It's the way we think. Is it the way we talk? The way you talk about yourself? The way you talk to yourself? Maybe what needs to be renewed is the way you walk. You see, royalty walks upright, shoulders back, chin up. It's difference to this. When we have the whole world on our shoulders, we don't have the whole world on our shoulders because Jesus took it all. He paid the price. We don't work for victory, we work from victory. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. But we've got to get that concept. Is it the way we hold on to what was in the past? God is doing a new thing, people. We've heard this over and over and over again. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. He's busy doing it. It's not coming. It's happening. Let's let go of the past. Let's embrace our true identity and let's walk powerfully in our true identity so that we can multiply, be fruitful, subjugate, fill the earth, so that we can take back what the enemy has stolen. He has stolen enough. This place should be packed to the rafters. Each and every service, we should be looking for a bigger venue because of the fact that we're walking in our true identity. We've seen somebody who's hurting. We're bringing them onto the path. We're telling them the story. We're bringing about salvation. We're showing them. We're discipling them. We're equipping them. We're sending them out. They get somebody else. That's how it should be. But you and I need to walk in our identity first. We need to walk in our identity first. And we have a promise. We have a promise. And the promise is this: I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually. I was like, what does the word perpetually mean? Hey, Google, what does perpetually mean? In a way that never ends or changes. Did you feel that? You feel the presence when I said that? This is Jesus speaking in Matthew 28:20. I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually in a way that never ends or changes, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. He's with us. Where do you need to change? Where do you need to renew? Mind, body, thinking, talk, walk, living. What needs to be renewed? Something needs to be renewed. And next week I'm going to expound on this. Next week I'm going to, if you know somebody who's not walking in their truth, make sure you hear next week. Don't miss next week. Because next week I'm going to reveal a couple of truths that have been hidden by the lies of the enemy.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.